Listening, it's time for the Labor Hour, and they're not starting with their usual theme, so we won't have the usual fall start, but you'll recognize it.
Okay, that was Edward and Starr, War. And folks, you're listening to the April 10th, 2000 edition of the Illinois World Labor Hour, brought to you over the air by WEFT 90.1 FM in Champaign, Illinois, and webcast worldwide live at www.weft.org. The new views and opinions here are those solely of the speakers and do not represent anyone else at WFT. And here's Tom with some acknowledgments of some underwriters.
The Illinois World Labor Hour is supported in part by the Illinois Education Association Teachers Union and the Central Illinois Jobs with Justice. Building coalitions amongst workers, unions, and the community, the Illinois Education Association and the Central Illinois Jobs with Justice are proud to support WEFT Community Radio in East Central Illinois. This hour of programming is also brought to you by you listeners of WEFT and by the Brotherhood of Maintenance Way. The Brotherhood of Maintenance Way employees are proud to continue their support for the Illinois World Labor Hour. A democratic union, BMWE, celebrates the voice for labor on WEFT. It is our hope that all workers may share the same benefits that they enjoy, such as living wages, job security, away-from-home expense pay, early retirement, Canadian-style health insurance, and guaranteed year-round work. And the Illinois World Labor Hour is supported in part by you listeners of WEFT and by the AFL-CIO of Champaign County. The AFL-CIO represents the interests of more than 7,000 workers in Champaign County and more than 13 million workers nationwide. Recognizing that strong workers build strong communities, the AFL-CIO is proud to support community radio in East Central Illinois.
Okay, thank you, Tom. I'm your host, David Johnson, here today with co-host Tom Thomas, who will have some workers' interest news for us, as well as this week's edition of the Labor Hour Cultural Corner. Tom's brand new poem for this week is entitled Replant Democracy Seed, and you'll hear it here first on the Illinois World Labor Hour. Also here with us today is co-host Bob Pelesny, our technical expert and advisor, who will have some news and banner for us, and we have some very special guests in the show that we're going to be introducing here real shortly. But first, we'll go to some news headlines, with starting with Tom Thomas.
Last month, the U.S. added jobs at the fastest pace in 3 years as factories, stores, hospitals, and the census all hired workers. The surest sign yet that the worst employment market in a generation is finally snapping back. Overall, the economy added 162,000 jobs for the month of March. According to the Labor Department, the unemployment rate stayed at 9.7% for the 3 months in a row, and economists actually consider that a promising sign. Unfortunately, hiring is not expected to be robust enough anytime soon to significantly bring down the unemployment rate. Some economists are predicting that unemployment will probably still be above 9% by the November midterm election, and that will make both Democratic and Republican incumbents vulnerable to replacement, particularly in hardest-hit states. President Obama took partial credit for the positive numbers in the jobs report, but with some 15 million people still out of work, he also acknowledged that the economy is going to take a very long time to recuperate. Bob?
Okay, a strike by 1,500 nurses, healthcare professional, and technical employees at the Temple University Hospital in Philadelphia began on Wednesday, March 31st at 7 a.m. after months of bad faith negotiations by the hospital. The employees have been without a contract since its expiration on September 30th of 2009, and rulings by the Pennsylvania Labor Board have demonstrated that the hospital has engaged in unfair labor practices. Temple's offer contains a gag clause provision that would silence the nurses and healthcare professionals, taking away the right to advocate for themselves and their patients. The clause, if implemented, would enable the employer to discipline or fire a healthcare professional who speaks out in ways the hospital deems disparaging of the institution. The gag clause was debated in the last bargaining session held on March 15th. In response to one of the bargaining team members' concerns about this threat to her freedom of speech, a Temple vice president stated, "If you want your constitutional rights, you need to go somewhere else." And on April 8th, the union and hospital representatives held negotiations with a state mediator to explore whether an agreement could be reached to end the seven-day-long strike. While the union proposed a number of initiatives to find common ground, including a lessening of its wage proposal, the hospital has once again made no movement from its final offer. Using conservative estimates on the wages for the strikebreakers, the union has calculated that Temple has already spent $5 million on the strikebreaker operation and will spend $4 million in the second week of the strike. This $9 million is equal to all of the additional costs for both of the contracts proposed by the nurses and allied health professionals for 4 years. And the 800 nurses and other professional staff rallied outside Temple University Hospital. In addition to the cost of the replacement workers' high salaries, which can reach the replacement workers now, can reach over $10,000 per week, the hospital is spending nearly $2 million on the strikebreaker agency overhead, luxury hotel rooms, meals, transportation, extra security, and airfare. Temporary replacement workers have been flown into Philadelphia from 42 states across the country.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing how much money they'll spend on strike breaking.
It is amazing.
It's basically not so much a money issue, but a power relationship.
It'd be cheaper just to give the workers what they want.
Yeah, well, exactly. They're spending four times as much on the replacement workers as what they could have given the current employees.
Wow.
Incredible.
Okay.
The housing market appears to be recovering from its winter doldrums as the number of buyers who agreed to purchase previously occupied homes rose sharply in the month of February, which greatly exceeded economists' expectations. It's a sign that a second round of government incentives is pushing buyers to make their offers before a deadline at the end of this month, April. They very likely also are motivated by worries that mortgage rates will be climbing later this year. The National Association of Realtors reported last week that its seasonally adjusted index of sales agreements rose some 8.2% from January's reading to February's reading of 97.6. A reading of 100 is equal to the level of sales activity in the year 2001 when the index began being recorded. Economists surveyed by Thomson Reuters expected the index to fall slightly in the course of the year. The index is a barometer for future sales activity because there is a typically 1 to 2 month lag between a signed contract and a completed sale. Sales had been sluggish during the winter because home buyers were feeling less rushed after Congress extended the deadline to qualify for an offered tax credit.
Okay, this is from West Virginia. Massey Energy, which owns the Upper Big Branch mine in Monaco, West Virginia, where at least 25 miners lost their lives in a methane explosion Monday afternoon, which has now expanded to 29. They just found four other dead miners. Has a long record of sacrificing the lives and limbs of coal miners in pursuit of profit. The nation's fourth largest coal company, Richmond, Virginia-based Massey Energy, made $104 million last year, twice its 2008 profits. What's interesting is that the company intends to increase production and profits with fewer workers, and these workers will be driven to produce even more while safety regulations are largely disregarded. Last year alone, the Mine Safety and Health Administration cited the Upper Big Branch mine for 495 violations. During the same time, production was tripled at the mine. Since 2005, the mine was cited for a total of 1,342 violations, including 50 in March alone. Jeez. Asked if the mine had an unusually high rate of safety problems, Massey Mining CEO Don Blankenship told a West Virginia radio station Tuesday that safety violations were, quote, a normal part of the mining process, and it's just disgusting. And I just wanted to sneak one other story in here. French car accessories plant north of Paris, the workers there threatened Friday to blow up their factory unless they were given better layoff compensation. Employees at the Soda Metex plant placed petrol bombs near a large gas tank and were threatening to set them on fire. The plant is going to go up in smoke if that's what they want, said one worker. Managers sat down with union leaders immediately and labor mediators at the town hall in Crepy-en-Velot in a bid to defuse tensions at the plant where 92 jobs will be lost. The workers have high expectations about this meeting. There has to be a concrete effort or else anything could happen. They are very determined, said Eric Lemon, a union activist.
With the April 15th tax filing deadline approaching, 26 professional tax preparers in New York City have been accused of participating in tax fraud schemes that generated millions of dollars in unwarranted IRS refunds, according to federal authorities. Criminally charged after a probe called Operation Brass Tax, that's tax spelled T-A-X, the preparers allegedly used a variety of schemes, including listing stolen identities of minor children to falsely claim them as dependents on returns and claiming deductions for losses from businesses that never even existed. While stressing that most taxpayers are honest, legitimate business people, IRS investigator Patricia Haynes has said the investigation shows the public should be very careful when choosing someone to prepare your tax return filings.
Okay, thank you, Tom. We're going to have a little quick music break here with local band Kilbourne Alley, which, Bob, you said that they won second place at the International Blues Festival in Memphis last year?
Yeah, a couple years ago they were nominated for several blues music awards down there, and they got a new CD out,
okay.
Better Off Now, and I'm sure they'll be nominated for more awards next year.
Okay, well, good. This is a song called Soldier's Blues, and if you haven't guessed already, the theme of our program today is anti-war. So we're going to hear a little bit of Kilbourne Alley, Soldier's Blues, and we'll be right back with introducing our very special guests in the studio.
Find some more land.
Okay, that was Kilbourne Alley. And now we want to introduce some of our very special guests here at the Illinois World Labor Hour. Just a little background. These special guests have come into town to attend the Illinois Coalition for Justice, Peace, and the Environment Conference. It's a statewide, fifth annual statewide conference. It started yesterday evening at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana with guest speakers Alexander Coburn and Paul Street, and with musical entertainment from one of our fellow workers, Jim Iman's band, the Ruthless Goats. And so now I'm proud to present, first of all, welcome back Marty Conless from Labor Beat in Chicago. Marty, welcome back to the Labor Hour.
Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure to be here. And I just want to give a big hello to Bill Gorell out there, and glad to hear he's on his feet again.
Oh, yes, indeed, Bill. We're definitely miss you on the show today, but we're hoping you're going to a speedy recovery. But anyway, our very special guests in the studio today came all the way from Japan to attend this conference here in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. And I would like to introduce Asai Kenji and Yamakawa Yoshiyasu from the National Assembly for Peace and Democracy, which is the acronym in Japanese is ZENCO. And it's a national peace organization based in Tokyo, Osaka, and Okinawa. So Kenji and Yoshiyasu, welcome to Champaign-Urbana and the Illinois World Labor Hour.
Thank you very much, David. I'm very honored to be here and also make our voice heard to listeners in this Illinois city. Thank you very much.
Yes, and also you're making your voice heard to people all over the United States and the world, in fact, because we're broadcast live on the internet worldwide. But we're also likewise very honored. And Marty, you first met these gentlemen when you went to actually your trip to Japan. Could you talk a little bit about that real quick, and then I'd like to get into interviewing our guests?
Sure. I was invited last year by ZENCO and Japan Peace TV and MSD, Movement for Social Democracy, International Video Fest against War and Poverty. It was very successful. They just had their second one this year. And for my work for Labor Beat in Chicago and my anti-war video. And on that trip last year, I toured with Mr. Sella from Baghdad of Sana TV. And it was a very, very heartfelt tour for me. And so I invited these gentlemen back to America, and in response and diplomatic relations, and surprisingly, they said they come, and here they are, and I'm very honored to be here and show them around Chicago and come bring them down to the conference. I hope other people come out to the conference today too, people, listeners. It's going on all day. So anyway, so yes, so very honored to be here with my friends.
Okay, we'll start with Kenji. Kenji, could you explain to me when and why ZENCO was founded, and kind of a little bit about what you do?
ZENCO, yes. Okay. ZENCO was founded in 1970s, and it has been working to promote peace and democracy and also international solidarity among Japanese people, particularly working class and students, youth. And major issues we are involved in is, first, the anti-war movement to end the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan, because our country, our government, is now participating to the occupations of these countries. So our major task is to end this occupation and liberate these peoples from the devastating situations there. And another thing, another issue is we have to remove, dismantle all the military bases from Japan, particularly from Okinawa. And recently very hot issues in Japan is one of the marine bases in Okinawa should be removed out of Okinawa, but our government is now planning to only relocate this marine base within Okinawa Island. So we have to stop this government plan and make this island free from military base. Okay.
Okay. Now, you just had a recent election, national election in Japan. Do you have any hopes for the new government? From what I understand, that was one of the big issues in the election, wasn't it? Not?
Yeah. Yes. We held a national election in last August. Mm-hmm. And a new government led by Democratic Party of Japan came to power.
And that was the first time in decades?
Yes, first time in the post-war history of Japan. Mm-hmm. We brought former opposition party to power. Mm-hmm. And it reflected the will of the Japanese people, mm-hmm, to replace the bad former liberal democratic party's policies. And so it reflected hope of Japanese people. But after that, after DPJ took power, its policies are against the people's will, particularly in relation to Okinawa-based issues, against their promise during, mm-hmm, the election campaign that these U.S. bases should be removed out of Japan. The current plan of the government is only relocate or reorganize those bases within Okinawa Island.
Reorganize within the territorial boundaries of Japan.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, this seems to be an international phenomena, the people electing new governments, based on their promises and then them not fulfilling their promises. Yoshiyasu, what do you think about all this, and what do you think of the prospects of some real change could be?
Okinawa,
my name is Yamakawa. I speak Japanese. Sorry. まあ沖縄の人たちはやはりあの基地っていうことについてははっきりと拒否している。でそれであのまあこれはラジオだからお見せできないんですが、これはあの沖縄のニュースペーパー新聞ですね。あの非常に大勢の人たちが去年基地を反対いらないと。
沖縄 people are completely rejectthe presence of U.S. military, and this we cannot show this photo, but this picture is telling about a big rally held in Okinawa last November.
That's an amazing photo. It takes up half the news. The photograph of all the people takes up half the page of the newspaper. Mm-hmm.
であの今年の4月の25日にも県民レベルで10万人規模の集会を今作ろうとしている
。 And also on the coming April 25th another big rally which is expected to attract more than 100,000 people, local people, is to be held in Okinawa also. It's to protest the current government plan to keep U.S. military presence in Okinawa.So big rallies will be coming.
まあ沖縄戦がありましたが、第二次世界大戦の時に、その時に日米合わせて20万人があのそこで亡くなっている。
During the World War II, Okinawan people experienced the ground battle, and during this battle, more than 200,000 people, local people, were killed. So that is the base of the Okinawan people's sentiment for peace.
その沖縄からイラク、アフガニスタンに今回ヘリコプター移動の軍隊が行くことになった。
Mm-hmm. And also, Okinawa people are completely against the situation where from Okinawa U.S. bases, many jet fighters or helicopters were sent to Iraq and Afghanistan and to kill Iraqi people and Afghanistan people. So that's why Okinawa people are completely rejecting the presence of U.S. military there.
Yeah, Okinawa being a staging area like that could make the people of Okinawa targets for terrorists. Mm-hmm.
まあ、だから沖縄の人たちはあの人を殺す基地は拒否する。そして沖縄にいらないものは日本にもいらない、日本にいらないものはあ世界にもいらない、軍隊をやっぱりなくしていくということをあの沖縄の人たちは望んでいるし、私たちもそのための運動している。
沖縄 people's desire is that what is unwanted in Okinawa is unwanted anywhere else in Japan or anywhere else in the world. So yes. People's will is reject what is related to war. Anything that related to war, that they will completely reject. That is a will of the Okinawan people.
That's the right frame of mind to have.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to hear a little about Kenji, you took a trip to Iraq about a couple years ago or so, and you met with the Mr. Salah Hadi of Sana Satellite TV in Baghdad. Now, Marty was on, Conlis was here on the air about 6 months ago, right after he got back from Japan and meeting Mr. Salah Hadi for the first time. And he mentioned that Mr. Salah Hadi is the third director of this television station, that the previous two were murdered. And can you tell us a little bit about your impressions about that in particular in Iraq, and what your impressions of Iraq in general were as well?
Okay, thank you. I several times traveled to Iraq to cover what is going on there. And I met friends there who belong to a civil organization called Iraq Freedom Congress, which is secular and democratic broad coalition composed of organizations from labor movement or women's movement or children rights movement. And under this IFC established a satellite TV station in year 2007. Just by donation sent from around the world, particularly from Japan. And most of satellite TVs in Iraq are, for instance, ethnically biased or sectarian or pro-occupation or pro-government. So Iraqi people needed to have just fair and reflecting people's will broadcasting. So that's why they established this Sana TV. And since then, Sana TV has broadcast many programs covering real situation of the Iraqi people and unionist struggles against, for instance, oil law or oil robbery, and also movement of the women who are against the suppression of the women's rights. So, besides from these Sana TV programs, we in Japan edit some of these programs and put Japanese narration or subtitles and giving some video clip on internet. We call it Iraq Peace TV in Japan. Mm-hmm. So Japanese viewers, Japanese supporters also can view some of most of Sana TV programs on internet. Mm-hmm. And this Peace TV in Japan have attracted much attention and sympathy from Japanese viewers.
I also, Marty mentioned to us too that the U.S. military has broken into Sana TV's offices on several occasions, destroying their office equipment and other things, and arresting people. And it's like, it's amazing that I guess the truth is a threat.
Mm-hmm. Was there some kind of a legitimate reason for them to actually break into the TV radio studios? Or
I can comment on that. Later on in my research, I discovered that when they first had IEDs in Iraq, the unduly named insurgents would videotape them to help their operation go better the next time against American soldiers. So, for instance, a lot of shootings at checkpoints are done with people holding people in cars with cameras. They shoot them at the checkpoints. The United States military shoots anybody with a camera on the basis of that they might be filming for the so-called Al-Qaeda in Iraq or whatever they want to call them on the news today. You know, so that's I found out that later that they've destroyed their equipment because of just the fact they have equipment. You know.
Okay, so now, do you have any plans possibly to go to Afghanistan sometime in the future?
I don't think so.
Okay, very dangerous. Very.
But just we in Japan organized people's tribunal to indict Bush and Blair and Koizumi administrations for their crimes committed in Afghanistan and also in Iraq. This is a people's initiative court tribunal. During that time, we sent some fact-finding mission to Afghanistan and Iraq and to gather many, many testimonies of the war crimes committed U.S. and the U.K. militaries. So that's what we already organized in Japan.
Okay, I tell you what, Tom, I think you've got a very appropriate poem this week, and you know, I think this fits right in with the National Assembly for Peace and Democracy, ZENCO. Tom's poem this week is The Replant Democracy Seed, and I think this would be really a very good time to go right into the poem here. So with no further ado, here is Tom Thomas with the poem of the week. Replant Democracy's Seed.
From January's icy roads, through February's wetter frown, through the blustering winds of March, through April showers pouring down, we could not grow, we could not build. Has our economy been killed? That time of year is on us now, when concrete pours and hammers swing. But it's not happening enough, they're hardly building anything. Too many are still unemployed, and poverty is not enjoyed. It's time for we victims together to march with arms locked together, to stand up to the billionaires, no matter how bad the weather. Those misers and crooks must be told they need to share some of that gold. Bankers and insurance agents are in their saddles riding tall. They find money to kill Arabs, but cannot build a hospital. It's time that they all dismounted and for their treachery accounted. It's time to feed all our workers the jobs that they can rely on. It's time to rebuild our nation before our greatest dreams are gone. And jobs for all are what we need to replant democracy's seed. Replant Democracy Seed was written at the Poets Loft in Champaign, Illinois on April the 8th, 2010, and was first recited live April 10th, 2010, here on the Illinois World Labor Hour on WEFT 90.1 FM in Champaign, Community Radio for East Central Illinois.
Okay, thank you, Tom. And the Coalition for Justice, Peace, and the Environment Conference is still going on today. It's going to go continue till 6:30 this evening. This afternoon, there's going to be a series of panel discussions. One will be Transforming the Land, the other Transforming Social Relationships, and the third is Transforming Empire. And our fellow worker and friend Mike Griffin, a veteran rank-and-file activist from the Staley Struggle, the early 1990s, Decatur, Illinois, will be on the panel discussion of Transforming Social Relations. Mike's always a very dynamic and fiery speaker, and it'd be definitely worth coming out and seeing these various speakers. I also want to remind you that tomorrow, Sunday, from 4 to 5 p.m., and every Sunday, is Labor's View TV. This week with host Jim Iman and yours truly. And this week's show on Labor's View will be The Assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. Tune in and hear a story that never made the corporate media about the Martin Luther King's family filing a civil action for wrongful death and murder by the United States government and actually won their lawsuit. But amazingly, this story never made the corporate media. So tune in tomorrow on Labor's View TV from 4 to 5 p.m. on Comcast Channel 6 Urbana Public Television. Okay, we're going to just take a quick music break here, and then we'll be right back with our guests to discuss what is it we all can do, both locally and internationally, to try to end this madness. We'll be right back.
around or come and mercy me. Three wise men in SUV. Corporate logo on the side. Air conditioned quiet ride. That thing don't run on French fry grease. That thing don't run on love and peace. Takes gasoline, make that thing go. Now bring your hands up nice and slow. Take us to the land of milk and honey. Sing and dance all night long. What you gonna do with all that money? What you gonna do when that money's all gone? Negotiation's just no fun. It don't serve our interest none. Gonna turn up the heat till it comes to a boil. So we can go get that Arab oil. And we'll suck it all up through the barrel of a gun. Every day's the end of days for some Republicans. Don't cut and run. Tell me, ain't you proud of what we've done? Take us to the land of milk and honey. Sing and dance all night long. What you gonna do with all that?
Okay, yes, that was James McMurtry, America, spelled with a K. Yes, what you going to do with all that money? You know, we got to ask that, you know, why was the real reason for the invasion of both Afghanistan and Iraq? And that's a three-letter word I think we all know. It's O.
Starts with an O.
O-I-L. It's oil. And anyway, welcome back. And we're back here with our special guests, Asai Kenji and Yomakawa Yoshiyasu. And we want to talk a little bit about some other problems associated with the military bases in Japan and just sort of the whole, what do you want to call it, the military-industrial complex, both, you know, worldwide, and how it adversely affects people in other aspects, too. And in particular, we're looking at environmental problems. Marty, can you talk a little bit about some of the environmental problems that you're aware of just from your visit in Japan? And then we'll, of course, turn this over to Kenji and Yoshi.
Yeah, I'd like Mr. Yamakawa to talk a little bit about, this is an environmental conference also at the Urbana IMC, and so we're going to ask an environmental question. If the Japan government succeeds in moving the air base, the reason why they have to move the air base is because the urban center grew up around the air base, and it's unsafe to land planes now. So their plan was to move the air base to the northern part of the island. Well, if they do that, if they do succeed in that, the runoff from the air base, the rain runoff, will pollute the waters, and there is a group of zhugong, which are sort of a manatee type of sea animal, that is will be extinct. There's only a certain amount left. I want to say 50, but we'll. And so that's an environmental question, and I'd like to ask Mr. Yamakawa to answer that or fill us in a little bit on that situation.
Okinawa ni wa zhugong ga seisoku shite imasu.
One of the sites planned for relocation of Futenma Air Base is northern seashore of Okinawa Island, called Henoko Bay. It's in Henoko Bay, estimated 50 to 60 individual dugong are habiting. So it's the northernmost habitats of dugong.
This is the only place in the world where these animals exist?
Northernmost area where dugong habitat, yes.
まあ今浅井さん言いましたが、そのジュゴンは固有種で、日本のところにいるのは非常に希少価値のある動物である。
Japanese dugong is an endangered species and a very original species in Japan. And it is very valuable. And there is very seaweed grasses under the sea. So it must be protected forever by designating this area as a dugong reservation area.
No fishing.
そのジュゴンの住む、まあ、今、藻場のあるところですが、まあ、それがキャンプシュワブ沖ということで、アメリカの基地のあるその海であると。
Also, another plan, planned by the government is to reclaim the land of this Henoko Bay and establish a new offshore base.That will totally endanger the and that may lead to extinction of this dugong. So we
talk about an offshore military base.
Yes, we completely oppose to that plan.
その海域を埋め立てて新たな基地を作ろうという話になって、それは環境影響評価調査ということが行われて、サンフランシスコの連邦裁判所でのジュゴンの保護ということが、それは判決として出されている。
And also some environmental impact assessment has been conducted. And also in the U.S. also, the San Francisco federal courts ruled that this dugong required to be protected. That's a ruling of San Francisco federal court. So from these aspects, this plan to build offshore base is, will never be allowed.
ところがこの3月の19日に日本政府はまた新たなプランを出して、それがそれも同じジュゴンの住む海域に、まあ、3000ヘクタールものを新しい基地を作るというものであって、
but very recently in March late March Japanese government announced a new plan to build a baseanother part of Okinawa, Okinawa, and this is called Katsuren Peninsula, and the government plan is to reclaim the sea of sea off Katsuren Peninsula and build more than 1,000 hectare. It means 3,000 acre wide offshore base. It's a new plan.But under of this Katsuren Peninsula seaside also have very beautiful coral reefs and seaweeds where dugong come to be to eat. So this is very we think this is very horrible plan if implemented. So we must stop this plan to relocate for the Maya base.
だから生物の多様性を持ったような、そういうジュゴンを大切にすること、生物の多様性を持つことというのが私たち本来の人間の価値にとって非常に大切なもので、基地とはもう本当に相入れないというふうに思う。
Symbolized by dugong, we must keep biodiversity where we live in. So to protect this biodiversity, we must stop these government plans.
It sounds like the easiest solution would just be for the American military bases to close completely.
That's what we want.
Okay. Very good.
That's okay. What a lot of Americans want, too.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And Kenji, I would like to kind of come back to this question I kind of asked you a little bit earlier, but we didn't really get to go into detail. Was can you talk a little bit about your trip to Iraq? I mean, was that kind of, I'm sure you were a little nervous to go. I mean, hearing all the, you know, the dangers and everything. Uh-huh. And what was your impression there when you were there?
Yes, when I traveled to Iraq, I'm escorted by our friends of Iraq Freedom Congress. Mm-hmm. So I myself did not meet any danger or threat mm-hmm. Of being
killed or attacked by some military forces. Mm-hmm. But what I saw there is tension between among the people. And the occupation authorities introduced the ethnic or sectarian divisions, which were never existing before the occupation. And this ethnic and sectarian conflicts caused many problems among Iraqi people. So this led to many bombings and killings. And mm-hmm. So we must remove these ethnic and military sectarian conflicts from Iraq. And in order to do that, the cause of this conflict is the occupation itself. So we must withdraw all occupation forces from Iraq, including Japanese presence there. Japanese military already withdrew from Iraq, but recently Japanese government put many economic, so-called economic assistance to Iraq. And this supports the puppet government policies. So mm-hmm. we must stop this funding of the pro-occupation government and stop the Japanese corporation's intention to rob Iraq oil mm-hmm. by participating in the bid to oil development.
Okay. Now, you gave me some postcards of some very wonderful photographs you took, which kind of, it looks like the Iraqi people's conditions, their living conditions, are quite primitive at best, mm-hmm. if not horrible. Now, I had a friend from Iraq years ago, and what I know from him and just general knowledge that Iraq, before the invasion, had one of the highest standards of living in the Arab world. I mean, very high literacy rate, mm-hmm. very high yeah, yeah. standard of living, yeah. and now that's just, when you look at these photos, that doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be the case. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is said that currently in Iraq there are more than 2 million internal refugees. That their living conditions are very bad, and particularly it affects the conditions of children. And many, contrary to what we saw before the occupation, we see many street children in Baghdad streets or other cities. And there have been many kidnapping of children and trafficking mm-hmm. of the children overseas. So, and that was conducted by some armed groups or religious reactionary groups. Mm-hmm. And these crimes are inflicted by the presence of the occupation forces. So the fundamental solution to this tragic situation is ending the occupation. Okay. That's a very important point.
Now, you were escorted around by the Iraqi Labor Conference, I think that's really interesting that a labor organization is mm-hmm. like in the forefront of this movement to try to build international mm-hmm. solidarity yes. and to end the sectarian violence and, of course, remove the foreign occupation military, especially the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we're going to take another short musical break. We're going to come back and kind of wrap up the program. And I want to talk to again some more to Kenji and Yoshi about what is it we can all do? Because, you know, the majority of the peoples in the world do not want this occupation. And it's true here in the United States as well as Japan and most countries in the world. But you know, people are frustrated. They don't know. It seems like their government has gotten out of the control of the citizenry. And we'd like to, I'd just like kind of ask a few questions on that subject as far as what is it that we all can do.
Blues over forget me not. Blues over Baghdad's all I got. Blues over Baghdad, forget me not. Remember me because I fought. Bombs exploding throughout the night. Bodies strewn left and right. When hungry guns and short tempers meet, man's inhumanity is man's defeat. When both sides of war awaken, we count the living and salute those taken.
Okay, Bob, who was that performing there? It's from your wonderful compilation you made a couple years ago, your anti-war compilation.
That's a gentleman called Fruitland Jackson.
Okay.
He's out of the Chicago area.
Okay.
He's really big in blues in the schools. He says sometime in April here he will be presenting his performances to his 1,000,000th student at various classrooms around the country.
Oh, excellent. You know, I'm really surprised. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of good anti-war songs coming out of the blues genre, you know, and I'm that's really thrilling, you know, considering that's, you know, a very, you know, it's a very original, you know, American musical genre, if you will. But, you know, most of us know this situation, but just to remind people, because I think we need to be reminded of this day after day after day, that besides the horrible loss of life and limb of both American soldiers and Iraqis and Afghanis peoples that are being occupied in the interests of these international corporations, particularly the oil energy industry, we need to remember that over 10 billion U.S. dollars a month are being spent currently on these two wars. 10 billion U.S. dollars a month. I mean, think about what that could do for this economy right now. I mean, we desperately need real health care, not phony Obama health care that benefits the private insurance, health insurance industry. And more importantly, we need jobs. I mean, we need to rebuild our physical infrastructure, our telecommunications infrastructure. I know in Japan and Korea, their internet is twice as fast as the U.S. and it costs about half as much. Their cable television in both Korea and Japan and also in Western Europe is much more, how shall I say, you can get almost any channel. You have a lot bigger selection of channels throughout the whole world that you could obtain. Here, you get a prepackaged corporate product that basically you get choice of two different providers, and they decide what you want to see, and you don't get hardly any choice except between the channels they pre-select for you. So anyway, with these facts that this money that's just being wasted and causing death and destruction could be done to help our economy and everything, I want to finish here by asking both first Kenji, and then I would also like to ask Yoshiyasu, what is it that we all can do on a local level as well as interacting internationally amongst ourselves from communities here in, say, Illinois and communities in Japan?
Okay, I just would like to appeal to you that only one citizens media in Iraq, which is Sanat Satellite TV, must be maintained. And recently, this Sanat Satellite TV has been under threat from the government, from the U.S. military, and from the religious reactionary forces and the Iraqi government, and also Iranian government. After the Iranian presidential election, Iranian agency started the jamming of all broadcasting sent to the Middle East by Persian language. And this affected Sana TV broadcasting, and some of their programs have been suspended. And they cannot broadcast their own programs, which is needed, very necessary to Iraqi people, cannot reach Iraqi viewers. So we have to make Sana TV survive and let them reach the Iraqi people themselves. So we appeal to you to make a solidarity campaign to support this Sana Satellite TV and keep them alive and continue to broadcast what is going on and what the reality of the Iraqi society. So that's what we need to and we can do now. Thank you.
And Yoshi?
戦争と貧困をなくしていくための国際的な連帯が非常に大事だと思っています。
I think international solidarity to stop wars and poverty is crucially important.
先ほど話されたイラクの国際労働者大会に IBAB のアーロンと TJ が参加してイラクの人と抱き合った。
As David said last March,March last year, International Labor Conference was held in Iraq, and from U.S., two Iraqi veterans, Aaron Hughes and T.J. Buonomo, traveled to Iraq and met Iraqi workers and promised each other to stop this horrible situation brought by the occupation.
これは大きな感動を呼んだと思います。戦争によって侵略した兵士と、それから占領されたイラク民衆が共通の敵に向かって、戦っていっていることを証明したと思います。
This scene, where Aaron Hughes and T.J. Buonomo hugged one Iraqi worker was very, very impressive because the soldiers who participated in the aggression of a country met a workers who were invaded by these soldiers, met each other and hugged each other. And this symbolizes the possibility of all who are affected by the war come together and confront the common enemy who affect their lives. So that's very important.
前校はアイバウと US ローと日本に招いて大会をやってきましたが、これからもそういうことをもっと続けていきたい。
So, 前校 has been inviting many delegates from the U.S., particularly Iraqi Veterans Against the War and the U.S. Labor Against the War. So we will continue these efforts to strengthen international solidarity between Japanese and the U.S. and the Iraqi people.
Okay, and does Zenko have a website that people can...
Website はありますか?
Yes.
Okay, and what is his website?
Website のあれを教えてください。Zenko
Peace
だっけ。www.zenkopeace.com.
Okay, very good. And some of the listeners can check that out. Well, Kenji and Yoshi, thank you so much for coming in. We were very honored to have you. This has been a really excellent show. And we just, sometime in the years to come, hopefully we can all look back on this and realize that maybe this in a small way somehow helped. Okay?
Thank you very much from us.
Thank you very much. Arigato.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to end the show here. Thank you for tuning in to the Illinois World Labor Hour. And don't forget to head out to the Illinois Coalition for Peace and Justice and the Environment Conference that's still going on. It's going to be going on until 6:30 tonight. It's at the Independent Media Center at the downtown Urbana Post Office in downtown Urbana. So definitely check that out. And also Roy Zimmerman's going to be performing tonight starting at 8 o'clock, also at the IMC, and very funny songs about ignorance, war, and greed. And I've heard a lot of good things about Roy Zimmerman. So we're going to end a little here with Michael Fronte. Thank you for tuning in. Only World Labor Hour, and tune in next week at the same time. And work safe and do what you can to cause some trouble, if you will, to bring justice to the world.
Fire! Radioactive! Michael Fronte! Legacy and LZ in the place! Gone in International is flying, Robbie on the track. Drums and bass.